My name is Daughter of Israel Abel, Peace Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. Please start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Daughter Israel Abel Zipporah, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priestess starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Israel Abel now entering the sanctuary. And with this, I'd like to turn it over to the great priest in the house, the alley.
Okay, I'd like to start again with my speaking. I'm going to continue on with what I had spoken on before. And we're going to start with Revelations 11:1, and that's on page 977. And it says, "And there was given me a reed like a measuring rod, and the Malak stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of Yahweh and the altar and its confines where they worship within." Now, as a review, I want to go over the dates that I gave you the last time. If I could have my first slide, please. Okay, now these are the dates. Remember, the peace treaty was signed in 1993. It went into effect in 1993. The temple patent. Now that measure the temple, that was completed in 1989, and the patent was actually filed for in 1993. And also at the end of the year, the Vatican had finalized their accord with Israel, also in 1993. Now, I want you to look at some of the numbers below. There are some of the numbers that came with this calendar. The 1031 was the quote from the overseer. And it says, from the Greek, 10 means my father is majesty. 31 from 32 is an announcement, a message. 32 means pastor, messenger. Now, all of these definitions are coming from the Strong's Red Letter Edition. And then 15 is to be a well-doer. And then on page 13 of the Peaceful Solution to Building the Next Temple in Jerusalem, that actually shows the patent, the U.S. patent numbers, which is 360951 for the U.S. patent that was filed and granted. And there was also an Israeli design registration number of 23078. So the patent has also been registered in not only in the United States, but also in Israel. Now, I want to go to my next slide, which is 1989. And the reason why I want to go with 1989 is 1989 is the year that the Measure the Temple prophecy was fulfilled. And from the Strong's Greek, now this is the red letter edition, from the Strong's Greek, it comes from 1909 and 4724. Now, 1909, it's a primary preposition prop, and it means superimposition. Now, if you go to the temple brochure, which you can get if you call the House of Yahweh, or you go to the yahweh.com webpage, you can download the temple brochure. It actually shows how the third temple, Yeketzkiz Temple, is superimposed on the Temple Mount beside the mosque. So there is no reason for the mosque to be destroyed for the temple, the third temple, to be built. So that prophecy can be fulfilled, and it is in the process of being fulfilled. Now, the other reason why I wanted to go with this 1989, there's a whole list of dates that actually come from that 1909. And one of them is the Strong's edition was actually published in 1890. Now, people have said that pastor is doing a numbers game by adjusting the numbers to match what he's speaking on. There is no possible way that the overseer could have anything to do with the book that was published before he was born. Okay? Strong's Concordance, his first publication was 1890. Pastor was not born until 1934. So he had no control over what those men who worked on that book published in 1890. They were inspired by Yahweh. That was Yahweh's inspiration to publish that book so those numbers would be available for us in these last days so that we can have a better understanding of what the overseer is bringing forth to us. Now, if I could have my next slide. These are some of the dates. 11/22/1993 was the patent filing date. Again, these are all from the Strong's Concordance. And this is the this one is 11/22, and it comes from 11/29, and it means to build, establish, construct, build the house of Yahweh. This comes from 11/22, which comes from 11/29. Okay, now another number was 17. Now we know that 17 is pastor's lot number. It comes from 18 and 41/60. And as a verb, when it's used, it means bringing forth of fruit. And you continue on down through the numbers. The 2378, we drop the zero, so we have the number that we can use in the Strong's. It comes from 2380. And that's the Israeli registration number when you drop the zero. You add the zero, it's 23078. 2380, this word primarily denotes to offer first fruits to Yahweh. Now, if you go up to go to 1074, now this is another number. It's a tag number for the overseer. And from the Hebrew, it comes from 1069. And it means firstborn, new fruit. First fruits. Now, if you can continue down to the other dates, 1933 means to be like Yahweh, and 1934 means to seek after the kingdom of Yahweh. Now, if I could have my next slide, please. Okay. Now, a lot of these things that I've been working on, I do a search. Now, this is a list of search resources that you can actually go to in order to be able to further your studies. And the first one is the Yisrael Says program. Now, this is allows you to read the Book of Yahweh, the books of Yisrael, and previous publications for free online. So there's no reason for you not to be able to read from the Book of Yahweh. And it's at yahweh.com, Yisrael Says Index. Okay, the second one is the Sabbath Review. Again, this is on yahweh.com. These are summaries of the previous Sabbath services, so you can get the numbers and all of the previous overview of the previous services so that you can continue on in your studies. Another place is Yahweh's Branch, which is yahwehsbranch.com, and this is Pastor Yisrael Hawkins' writings on how prophecy is being fulfilled with current events. And then the last one is Ask Yisrael, and you search through all of the teachings that has been published, and that's another way of doing this thing. Now, I want to finish off with this Strong's, the Be Like Yahweh. There it is. It's from the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance Red Letter Edition. Like Yahweh, Yisrael alone is left of all the prophets of Yahweh, but of the prophets of Baal, number 4,199 men. And it comes from 8304, and it means Yah has prevailed. Now, I wanted to go over these numbers for you because, as we had last time, the great Kohan had explained about the Yahmetria. I wanted you to understand that these numbers that were used from the Yahmetria come from the inspiration of Yahweh, and given to us through his last prophet. We'll continue on with Damascus. So if you have any doubts, do the Yisrael Says program. Search out Damascus, and you'll be ready for the next one. Yahweh bless you.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. Oh, that's not Shabbat. Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. Okay, so we're all here at Yahweh's Feast. It's the third day of the feast already, right? All right, this feast is going by fast. So we come here to Yahweh's Feast. Remember everything our overseer has taught us about why we come here. We, you know, the Sabbaths are also a feast, but then we have the three times a year feast that all of Yahweh's family gather here for, you know, Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, and this great Feast of Tabernacles that we come to Yahweh's house to celebrate. But what for? Like, why did we come here? It's not just for a social gathering. We know we enjoy each other's company, we get to have righteous fellowship and stuff, but it's not just for that. We also come here to Yahweh's house to learn how to consider others. And how many of us can reflect back on when we came here to Yahweh's house and all the opportunities we've got to help serve others? Praise Yahweh. Okay, so learning how to consider others and become a servant When we come here to Yahweh's house is what turns people's lives around from just thinking about me, myself, I, my family, my children, to the great house of Yahweh, the great kingdom of Yahweh. Okay, because this is the house of Yahweh, right? We're the house of Yahweh, we're the family of Yahweh. But Yahweh calls us a kingdom of priests. He said, I will make of you a kingdom of priests. And remember that scripture is, it's in Exodus 19, verse 6. And we can turn there right quick. On page 60, Exodus 19, verse 6. Well, let's start with verse 5. Now, therefore, if you will truly obey my voice by keeping my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the laws that you shall speak to the children of Israel. And also, 1 Kefa 2:9 calls us a royal priesthood. Okay? So that's the purpose that Yahweh called us here for, to make us into this great kingdom of priests. And Yahshua said in this great kingdom of priests that whoever is the greatest among you, who knows what I'm going to say? He must be your servant, yes, or your slave. And that's how we rank in this great kingdom of priests. How many of us enjoy actually being a servant? Praise Yah, we all do, yes. Matithiah chapter 20, verse 26. Let's see what Yahshua said there about being a servant. Matithiah chapter 20, verse 26. This is when he was speaking to his disciples. He says, but this must not be so among you, this wanting to be greater than others and have more authority to rule and tell other people what to do and not just do it yourself. He said, this must not be so among you, for whoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. And this is what he stressed and taught to his disciples and drilled it into their mind. So those who are the greatest in Yahweh's kingdom will be a servant, those who learn to consider others. And that consider others, that's in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. On page 949, Hebrews 10, 24. And let us consider one another, how we can urge one another on towards love and righteous works. And we get that righteous works. That's what we come here to learn, is considering one another in righteous works. Okay? So Yahshua says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together in verse 25. This assembling of ourselves together here at Yahweh's Sabbaths and feasts where we learn to consider others, Yahshua said, don't forsake it. So verse 25, not forsaking the gathering of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And right now is the time period that we actually see the day approaching very near. Okay, so we can't learn to be a servant out in the world. You know why? You can't learn to be a servant out in the world just like working at some fast food restaurant, you know, or working at Walmart or driving a little delivery truck, because when we're doing that, we're getting paid for it. You know, that's the system out in the world, the cycle of going to work, getting paid, paying your bills, and doing all that. It's not really learning how to be a servant. We learn how to be a servant here in Yahweh's house because we learn how to see to each other's needs, right? We learn how to be that person that Yahshua was, to take the towel and wrap it around yourself and get down and wash our sister's feet, right? Or brothers, right? The lowest slave that the scripture talked about that washed the feet of the people who entered into Yahweh's house. Yahshua says when we learn to do that, not for reward or for, you know, recognition or anything, but out of considering our brothers and sisters, then you've learned what he taught all the days of his life when he was here on earth. Everything that he lived for was to be a servant. He taught his disciples to serve Yahweh's people, to guide them, to teach them. He taught them how to actually guide them to practice Yahweh's laws of health and Yahweh's laws of communication. We know Yahweh's laws of health gets the confusion out of our minds, right? We have a clear mind to think, and the laws of communication help us to assemble with each other and to serve and to get the work done and watch for each other's needs. Now, when we say watch for each other's needs, we know that we do this through Yahweh's house, because Yahweh's house is the one who, When we go through the house of Yahweh to supply each other's needs, we give the glory and honor to Yahweh. You get that? That's what the great priests have taught us. And we give the glory to Yahweh's house, who taught us freely. We didn't have to pay a big sum of money to learn how to run the bobcat, right? How many of us run the bobcat over here? We didn't have to pay a big sum of money to learn how to run a sewing machine, right? The house of Yahweh taught us freely, and that's what Yahshua said. So, in closing, remember Yaakov 13:17, Yahshua said, This is when he was washing his disciples' feet. He said, when you learn to do this, joyful are you. Joyful are you. Praise God. With this, if y'all please stand, I'm going to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, great saints. No, shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. How are y'all enjoying the feast? Y'all like it? Praise Yahweh. So it's so amazing. All the speakers before me just ties in with what I will be speaking about too. And the first speaker spoke about the establishment of the house of Yahweh. And then the next is, you know, being a servant to one another. So it made me think of overseer. He's showing that he's a great example. And we've seen that little clip from yesterday when we were the video of the spanning over of overseer's desk. And it made me tear up because it's like he puts forth all his whole being into studying everything diligently. No moment is wasted with this man on giving us exactly what we need in these last days. And Yahweh has fully equipped him to do exactly what it is that he's doing. And it's just so, it's humbling, and it's just a bunch of positive emotions. So thankful for overseer. So I would like to go over a few things. You know, the 1074 is overseer's license car tag, right? And we remember, if you remember the story that overseer said, that they set it up where they were going to take him out. They were going to leave that car on the side of the road and pretend that he just went missing. That's the same exact van that has the car tag 1074. Now, if you turn over to Isaiah chapter 44, Yahweh has it listed. I mean, before he even inspired the prophets to write the scriptures, Yahweh had it numbered. He had the words planned out. He had everything. So turning over to Isaiah 44, speaking of the two witnesses, yet hear now, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. So for our Yametria, whom Yahweh chose, is 1074. Looking down to verse 2, it says, this is what Yahweh says, who made you and formed you from the womb. From the womb is 828. Overseer's date of birth. How did Yahweh do that? Praise Yahweh. Looking over down to verse 7. And who as I will foretell, speaking of overseer, and set it in order in his two witnesses, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people. Who sets it is also 828, overseer's date of birth. How did he do that? Right? Now, remembered of Yahweh. So he also says, you will not be forgotten by me. So our next Yametria, remembered of Yahweh, is also 1074. Who know Yahweh is 1074. So y'all know Yahweh? Do y'all keep Yahweh's laws? Praise Yahweh. Y'all know Yahweh. So y'all are also tagged with this 1074. Being a part of this royal priesthood and learning what it takes to be a part of this holy priesthood. Now, another Yametria that Yahweh brought out is the only salvation, which is only offered here at Yahweh's house. From the house of Yahweh, all the nations shall be blessed. Psalms 118:26. And then there is no other is also 1074. And source of power, as we've been taught before by the great Kohan, is 1074. How is it that Yahweh set that up? I mean, if you think about how amazing and how much power the Creator has in order to have these numbers set up, have this car tag in place at the exact time in the last stage generation of the nuclear age when Overseer is going to be, because everything started changing from 1934. everything started changing. And it's the same with Yahshua. When Yahshua was born, he changed a lot. He changed the whole entire world, the numbering, like the dates and everything. Nothing is the same since Yahshua came. Nothing has been the same since Overseer's been born. Everything has been taking place exactly the way it needs to in this great nuclear age, and we're given the opportunity to see everything come to pass. I would like to leave you with this wonderful inspiration sent by Yahweh's great saints. And it's a photo of Overseer in the seventh book of Yahshua, part 2, chapter 2, verse 43. And it says, you have the best opportunity to get the best position because you're in the nuclear age and you can actually witness exactly what sin brings. And it also reminds me of, you know, we also get to experience the great joy that Yahweh's laws bring. Praise Yahweh. Thank you so much, great saints of Yahweh, for being a part of this great plan. And if you'd all please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. Let us make the peace of Yahweh be among us. Please be seated. The first Yametria I have is, who is like Moshe? And that's 1074. Now, you see that number next to it, 1292? 1292 from the Greek means an interval, a space. From the Greek, 1339, to cause to stand after the space. It's the channel through which something comes. And it comes from the Greek 2476. It means to stand, appoint, bring covenant by that man whom he has ordained, whom Yahweh has ordained, establish. Now, the example I have for this, for you to really try to understand this, is, you know, let's say you go to your work and you're working, and then you decide to take a break. Well, the work stopped right there. After your break, you're going back to work. So this is where that interval is. I want you to keep that in your mind, what that interval is. It's just a space in between two works. So get that firmly in your mind. Now, Hebrews 12:92 means Yahweh has blessed. Coming from 1288, and Yahweh blessed. And the central element in this, it says, is Yahweh's covenant with Abraham. And it gives the scripture, Genesis 18:18, where it says, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And in Genesis 26:4, it says, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. We know that Psalm 118:26 says, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. And we know that's our great overseer, Yisrael Abel Hawkins, comes in the name of Yahweh. And it says here, we have blessed you out of the house of Yahweh. Only blessings come from out of the house of Yahweh because, as a reminder, the only way we get blessed or bless someone else is by teaching them the laws of Yahweh. So continuing on with that number 1288, the covenant promise called the nations to seek the blessing. That's what it says in the Strong's. The covenant promise called the nations to seek the blessing. And you're probably going to be as amazed as I was when I tell you the scripture it tells you to go to, in where these nations are to seek this blessing. In the Strong's, it tells you to go to Isaiah 2:2. So let's go to Isaiah 2:2. It will come to pass in the last days that we are in, this last generation, that 1074 generation, that the mountain, the promotion of the great house of Yahweh, will be established in the chief of the nations and will be raised above all congregations, and all nations will eventually flow to it. And many people will go and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the great house of Yahweh, the father of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. We will walk in his paths, for the law has departed from Zion, and the word of Yahweh has departed from Jerusalem. Now let's see what Yeshua said about that. In turning over to Yochanan 4:19-21, where it says, "The woman said to him," this is a Samaritan woman, "Man, I see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you, Yadim, say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Now listen what Yeshua said to her. He said, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." Why? Because turning right back to Isaiah 2:2, in the last days, Yahweh has established his house in this nation, the chief of all nations. And we know that only after an intermittence, just like that first word said, a space of time, the house of Yahweh was shut down when Yeshua was killed by the Pharisees, the Catholic Church, and then for 1900 years, there was an intermittence of a space of time until the overseer was born. And once again, that work started back up of the beginning of the establishment of the house of Yahweh. This next slide I want you to see. Now, the name Moshe means drawing out of water, lawgiver. So drawn from water, 1074. We see the overseer also was drawn out of his mother's womb. Remember, in Isaiah 44, verse 2, he was formed from the womb. And his mother taught him diligently. She knew there was a purpose in this young child. And just as Moshe was drawn, and just as Moshe, Israel, is our lawgiver and our deliverer in these days, just as Moshe was then. Now it says in Jeremiah 23, 5 and 6, Yematria, yes, "I have raised up." Now, those are the words you'll find in Deuteronomy 18:18, where it says, I will raise up a prophet in these last days. Now, Yahweh has, so I put, "I have raised up." And you see, it's 8:28, the pastor's birth date. Now, let's go over to Jeremiah 23, the next slide. It says here, "Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will raise to David a righteous branch." That shows the overseer's character, righteous. "And a king will reign and succeed and will execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, those who reverence Yahweh will be saved, and the called out ones will dwell safely. And this is the name that he will proclaim to them at Abel, Yahweh Zidkenu, Yahweh our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, they will no longer say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt. But they will say, as surely as Yahweh lives, who brought up and led the seed of the house of Israel into the protected place at Abel and from all countries where they had been driven, and they will dwell in their own land, and we will dwell in the great city of Yisrael." Let us all stand for the next speaker.
Shalom. Please be seated. For all the new people who might not know what these numbers mean, I kind of wanted to give a quick review. Because when you see the 1074, the 1074, that was actually a car tag that our overseer has on his car, and he still has it on right now, but it's actually the tag that was on his car when he got arrested and falsely accused for keeping Yahweh's laws. Does everybody remember that? Okay, so for those of you who are new, when you see this number come up, and it was a very special number because first they gave them the wrong tag, and then they said give the tag back, and there was just, and you can go back and you can revisit some of those sermons online, because this is a very special number. and it shows that we are tagged with him. We are his people, right? Also, when you see the 322, that's another one of the overseer's tag numbers. And that's also very, very important because we see this come up a lot in the numbers, showing and specifically showing that this is the overseer. This is his tag. This is his lot. And 828, you see that a lot. That is his what? That's his date of birth. That also shows that this is the overseer that's included in whatever's coming up in this Yah matrix, that this is pointing to the overseer, but it's also pointing to you as a people who are strictly following this great man, right? Praise Yahweh. So for those of you who didn't know that, we wanted to just make sure that you knew. The title of my speech today is What Do We Seek After? And I want you to really think about what it is you seek after. Do you seek after worldly jobs, money, worldly family, worldly friends, worldly entertainment? What is it we seek after? Because in Proverbs 2, verse 4, we're going to see what Yahweh tells us to seek after. In Proverbs 2, 4, it says, if you seek after her wisdom as you would for silver and search for her, which means, you know, you got to search. It's not going to just fall on your lap. Search for her as you would for a hidden treasure. So you've got a treasure. This treasure is hidden, right? This is an investment. Treasure is an investment. Now, many people come and find this treasure, and then they just leave it. Can you imagine, like, on Wall Street, you know, they got their investments, and when the going gets tough, they're like, dump the stock, dump the stock. Yahweh wants to see our Exodus 20:20. He needs to see that this investment means so much to us. That's why we're tested. We're tested to see how much we love this treasure, right? So when the going gets tough, the 1074 family, they get tough, right? In Proverbs 2, verses 11 and 12, it says, discretion will protect you. You want protection in this time period? Discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. Verse 12, to deliver you from the way of evil and the man who speaks froward, perverse, and deceitful things. You don't want to be deceived by anyone because, you know, even here at the feast, sometimes there's people that'll say things to you to try to get you to doubt. But remember, our wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that comes from our great teacher that Yahweh's chosen, that we also seek after, this will keep us protected from being deceived. Now, in Deuteronomy 12:5, Yahweh lays it out. In Deuteronomy 12:5, if you'll turn there, it says, you're to seek the habitation of your father. Yes, he has a habitation. And he tells you to seek it. No, it's not a church on any corner and whatever makes you feel great, do it. No, he lays down a house. He says, this is my house. I want you to become part of my family. And there's house rules. No, not anything goes in the house. He lays down rules, which are laws, right? Morals. You're to seek this habitation, the house of Yahweh, the place which Yahweh your father will choose out of all your tribes to establish his name. And there you must go. Matithiah 6:33. You're to seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. Deuteronomy 6:25. Those are the house rules right there. There's no guessing. I wonder what the rule is. How do I get adopted? What do I got to do? What do I got to do? What do I got to do? No, he gives you house rules, 613 laws. And he says, seek it, seek this kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things are going to be added to you. Well, what's going to be added to you? I wonder what it could be. Did you get anything added today? It's the blessings to those who obey. Deuteronomy 30, it says, look, listen, family, I've set before you this day. Two ways, two trees, two decisions. You pick one. There's rewards and there's consequences. Deuteronomy 17:9. Okay, we found the house. We know the rules. So who's gonna explain the rules? Because you know rules can be there. You know I might not understand it, and you know bedtime's at 9. You know what if I don't feel well? Is there any kind of statute or something that I? But it says Deuteronomy 17 verse 9. It says go to the priest who reverent Yahweh and the judge who's in office at that time. Who's that right now? Israel Hawkins. Ask for their decision. Seek the decision. Seek it. And they'll give you the sentence of judgment where? At Abel, the great city of Israel. Now, I want this to be my last scripture. I want you to turn to Matthias 7. Matthias 7, we're going to read verses 7 and 8 here. Matthias 7, verses 7 and 8. And it says, ask at Abel, and it will be given to you. Seek, seek Yahweh at Abel, and you'll find. Knock, and it will be open to you. I want you to reference Revelation 22, 14. Blessed are those who keep Yahweh's rules, these house rules, right? They're gonna keep these rules because they're going to have the right. It's going to be granted to them. Come on in. Come on in, right? For everyone who asks, verse 8, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it's going to be open. It's going to be open. So I've got one Yahmetria, and I want to end with this. One Yahmetria. Who is Yahweh's door opener? I want you to take a look at this. Do you see? This is so awesome. Who is Yahweh's door opener? Do you see all those 28s? For those of you who are new, Pastor had a dream about some lot numbers. 17, 28, what's the last one? Right. So we've got number 17 in the Hebrew, to want, from number 14, to breathe after. Number 28 in the Hebrew, father of knowledge, that is knowing. Hebrew 28:93, purify to be cleansed. Hebrews 17:28, a fisherman. Who fished you out this world, House of Yahweh? Who fished you out? Israel Hawkins, being led by Yahweh. But this clinches it. This is how I knew it was talking about the overseer. Number 288. Number 288. And it means a brother of a royal king. Who is the royal king, House of Yahweh? Yahshua Messiah. And who is his brother, House of Yahweh? Our great overseer. So we know that we need to seek, knock. Remember, that door is going to be open to those who obey the rules of this great house. Please stand, House of Yahweh, and welcome the great priest in Yahweh's house. Praise Yahweh.
The door has been opened. It's up to us to seek it, right? Praise Yahweh. This time we get to hear from great deacon Michael Ossoff.
Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We're going to move quickly. If you'll turn over to Genesis 7, and that's found on page 5, Genesis 7. Do we need signs to believe, House of Yahweh? No. Do we need to see first before we believe? No. And because we think like that, we see miracles daily. And we don't ask for them because we see them daily. We're being blessed in that way. Okay, so it says in Genesis 7, page 5, verse 1, it says, then Yahweh said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen you righteous before me in this generation. So, as it says in Isaiah 2, 2, that the house of Yahweh is established in these last days. And Noah's ark was a place of protection for the righteous. Very few, but they were righteous before Yahweh and they were protected. In these last days, we have a place of protection for us here at the house of Yahweh. Israel's ark. Has anybody heard that? Anybody heard that, Israel's ark? Yeah, well, we heard it the other day at the meal. We heard Israel's ark the other day at the meal. And boy, he said that, my ears perked up, and I fumbled with my booklet, and I had my little list of searches, and I wrote it down, and I went home, and within 20 minutes, the entire search was done, ready to be printed and sent to Pastor. So we're going to get right into this, and the things that are being brought this feast and what you're going to see here, it would be so hard not to believe that this is the house of Yahweh and Yisrael Hawkins is the one sent. So let's get right into it. This was amazing. Okay. Just right. Okay, so the first thing that came up right here was the main, and that was Yisroel's ark. Now again, Yisroel was spelled like we spell it. Okay? Yod, Sheen, Resh, Aleph, Yod, Lamed. That's how we spell it. The way they spell it in the Hebrew in Israel, they don't put the Yod before the Lamed. And the YL is the strength of Yahweh. That's how we spell it, showing that Yisroel's ark, it's talking about Yisroel Hawkins and the house of Yahweh. Let's go back to the codes. Okay. So we have Yisroel's ark right here. Then on either side, over here, was Debar Yahweh, laws of Yahweh, came up. Then up here we have understanding. Understanding. All right. Then we have unity. Unity. Down here we have virtuous. Virtuous. Okay. Then these two crossing each other, which is this one here and this one here, is 1074, 1934. 1074 was born in 1934. Okay, now this one always comes up in the searches. And this one is right here, and of course it's Abel Way. So 1074, born in 1934, is on Abel Way. And that's here at the house of Yahweh, here in Abilene, Texas. Okay, then we have right here, this long one there, and this short one right here. And that is beloved children, which you are, which we are, those that keep Yahweh's laws and are submissive to the house of Yahweh and its teachings. We're considered by Yahweh his beloved children. Okay? Now, you remember Pastor was talking when he was speaking at the meal, and he was talking about the barbecued deer. And so I started looking for barbecued deer. And deer came up, but not barbecued. I'm like, no, it has to be barbecued deer. And then I realized there's not really a Hebrew word for barbecue. That's an American word. It's something that us Americans know about. So I kind of looked, and barbecue wasn't there. And I'm thinking, you know, what? And I started thinking about potato chips. And they don't put barbecue, B-A-R-B-Q-U-E. They put B-B-Q. And I'm like, so I typed in that bit. Kof, and sure enough, there it was, connected right with deer, barbecued deer, and that is right here, BBQ deer, BBQ deer. Okay, now wait, it gets better than that. So the next day, I decided to let the program just search, so I started, let it go, and Yisroel's ark, I saw like hundreds of names in everybody, a lot of people that are here. Just, I've never seen that many names in a search. And another word came up, and I'm like, roast sheep. So I called the great supervisor over the slaughterhouse, and I called him. I said, are we having roast sheep this feast? And he's like, no. No, we're having mostly deer and beef. And I'm like, well, you know, we've had roast sheep at the last feast, so that's pertinent. And it was like, well, wait a second. Actually, they are. It's going to be in the stews and then the soups at the peaceful scene. So, yeah, we are having roast sheep. I was like, whoa, I couldn't believe it. It's like Yahweh had that in there. He brought the roast sheep up even before, you know, anybody even knew that was going to be used. The only ones that knew that was going to be used were the cooks, the great chefs, at the Lamplight Cafeteria. So right here, I had to pin it in because it was a last minute deal. Right here is roast sheep. So of course that came up, roast sheep. Now, some other words that came up quickly. Abel. Abel crosses ark in Yisroel's ark, so it's Yisroel Abel's ark. Can only be here, right? Protection. Two witnesses, priests, perfection, prophetic, seventh, And of course, I pointed out roast sheep. Now, I don't usually do the Yametria, so I pulled it up and I typed Yisrael's Ark into the Yametria. Let me show you. Okay. It's kind of hard to see, but Yisrael's Ark. And it came up 948. Take a wild guess what 948 is in the Hebrew. Oh, I heard it. Fine white linen. The Hebrew word boots. It's fine white linen. Yisrael's Ark, 948, fine white linen. So do we need signs to believe? No, we don't. Do we believe without seeing? Yes. We don't need signs to believe, because we see clearly in you the beauty of Yahweh. Oh, this we pray, that we might serve you and be like you, O great Yisrael Hawkins. On the count of three, I'd like everybody to say, we love you, Pastor. One, two, three. We love you, Pastor! Praise Yahweh. Yahweh bless your feast. This time, if you'll all stand, turn over to a great priest in the house of Yahweh, the great Kohan, Benjamin Krause Hawkins!
Shalom. Yahweh's peace be with you and all of us abroad, spread abroad. Please be seated. The great prophet or great apostle Yaakov said the tongue would be the last thing we could learn to control. Okay. All right. Can I have my title slide? Okay, this is part two of this series here on the builders, the architects of deception. And let's go ahead and show the first slide, because I want to recap. What I did is, if you remember the first slide I showed you, it was the meaning from the Yametria of Genesis 3:5. What I did is I took, and if you remember, it meant course, a course that they're running, a course of life, a journey that they're taking. From the beginning, okay, when they decided to leave off Yahweh and go their own way. When you put in all those meanings, just the way I had them on that slide, this is what you're going to get. You'll get 3096, which means to stamp, trample down, and to show yourself haughty or proud. 3096 in the Greek means to practice sorcery or magic, to be a magician. From 3097, a Magian. That means an oriental scientist, an astrologer, a false prophet, magician, wizard, sorcerer, wise man. And it goes to the word 7248, which means rag mag, chief soothsayer. From 7227, Lord, Master, my master, teacher. That's that word rabbi, okay? These rabbis that pastors taught us about, you know, the lords, that they're all worshiping. The second number, 1857, means pierced, stricken, desperately wounded, and to revile. Remember, you're talking about this system here that they chose to follow. This is what their way has brought. 1857 in the Greek means outer darkness. It means the darkness outside the limits of the lighted palace to which the Messiah's kingdom is here likened. From 1537 means from out of, out from among, and it's used in 1 Yochanan 2:19 where it says, they went out from us, from the house of Yahweh, because they were not of us. Okay, that's why they left, because they were not of us. Remember, these are fallaways from Yahweh's house from the beginning. The third number, 1998, means a brawler, disturbed, to be in great commotion, clamor, tumult, rage, be troubled, tumultuous. Think of this world right now, what their way has brought. And it means concourse, which means a crowd of people. Murmur, make an uproar, agitate greatly, and destroy. In 1998 in Greek, means to run together beside, meaning there's two races taking place right now. There's the race that we're running here in Yahweh's kingdom, and the race they're running. And we're all going to get to the finish line at the same time, but we're all going to have a different result. One's going to end in the 1 hour burning. The other one's going to end in a very, very glorious way for us. Okay, now, 1998 also, if you remember, if you look at your book of Yahweh that has the numbers, 1998 is Genesis 10. If you look on it, remember Genesis 10 is when Nimrod began setting up this Nimrod system. Or, you know, the Cush begot this Nimrod system. And remember, 1998 is 666 times 3. Okay, now, when you add up all the numbers in these meanings from the Yamatria of Genesis 3:5, you get 6951, and it means a congregation, an assembly convoked for evil counsel, or for war and invasion. A company from 6950 to gather as an assembly or a convocation for conflict, war, or rebellion. Remember, the Nimrod means he rebelled. Now, let's look at this course that they've decided to take. Can I have my next slide? Remember, I used Route 66 as an analogy, or there's another word for it I used last time. It escapes my mind. But of course, when you look at this pyramid that they use, these Freemasons, a course is actually a layer of bricks. You know, like when you look at these, there's 13 courses on this pyramid right here on the back of your dollar bill. A course is each layer of bricks. Okay, you can see from Wikipedia, a course is a layer of the same unit running horizontally in a wall. Okay, now this is the pyramid of Freemasonry. It's another symbol of Freemasonry. And you get that number 1674. And I remember you're going to have to go way back and remember what I brought about this number 1674, that it's the number of Yada. Okay, you see that number 216 in the math. 216 means light. Okay, Yada was the light bringer, okay, assigned to bring the light to the world. And you see all those 666s in the math. It's showing that this is the same system from the beginning. The Roman numeral 1674, when you put it in Yamatria, you get a 666. That should really solidify in your mind the evil of this number right here. That this is talking about this Nimrod course from the beginning. You know, that Cain began with Cain, right? Okay, let's go to the next scripture, because we're going to learn more about this course or this bricklaying. Because Freemasonry, you know, it's not about just laying, it's not about building buildings with bricks. See what Pastor said here. He says, this is from the 12th book of Israel, chapter 13, verse 34. He says, if you'll open your scriptures to Jeremiah 23. Now, they say that the Masons started in the year 43. I don't believe it is. That's not true. They go clear back to Solomon's temple. We know that. And before, which I'm going to show you, they even know it. But I'm not talking about, when I say Masons, I'm not talking about bricklayers. That's what it resembles. But these things are steps of life, like sodomizing three-year-old children. They're steps in life or rocks that you lay in life in order to bring together a common goal or set a goal that they've set for themselves, as is shown in Isaiah 14. And also shown who it's led by. Remember who it's led by? 1966, Hillel. Okay, that's who it's led by. Let's look at, we put this in the Yamatria, and here's what comes up. 5757 means distortion, ruin, overthrow, overturn, to twist, make crooked. Remember, they've perverted and made this way crooked now. And we have Yeshurun here to straighten things out. Okay, that's what his job is. To commit iniquity, to pervert, to trouble, to turn, to do wickedly, do wrong. The second number, 3454, it means ancient, very old. Okay, remember, this is from the beginning. Okay, this system is from the beginning. And 3454 means, get this, a story, a fable, an idle tale, a fanciful story, a myth, a false account, yet posing to be the truth. Fabrication which subverts and replaces what is actually true. Is that not what they've done? An invention, falsehood, the fictions of the Jewish theosophists and Gnostics, which you're going to learn more about that Gnostics, because they say that G in the Freemason symbol also means Gnostic or knowing ones. A tale from 3453. Now get this, to initiate into the mysteries. Instruct, to initiate, to learn the secret. A mystery or secret doctrine, a hidden thing, secret, through the idea of silence imposed by initiation into a religious rite. And remember, this is the mystery religion, the mystery Babylon that they're worshiping here. This is what the Freemasonry is all about, secrets and learning these secret mysteries of Satan. 3487 in the Hebrew means a sign, a mark. It's the word used in Exodus 13 and actually Genesis 4:15, where it talks about Yahweh set a mark on Cain. And it means to assent and agree, consent and agree. Remember, they consent. They agree to take this mark. It's not like they're being deceived. It's a desired deception. They desire to be deceived. They desire Christmas and Easter bunnies and Halloween. Can I have my next slide? Now, it mentioned these Jewish theosophists. Let's look at the number for Jewish theosophists. 247 means to bind, encircle, and compass. Remember that compass on their Freemason, their symbol? The compass in the square? Strong's Hebrew 1482 means a whelp, a cub, a lion cub. Remember, Yada is called the whelp. And it means to turn aside from the road for a lodging. Don't they have their meetings in lodges? Oh, yeah, so they turned aside from the road that Yahweh had them on, and they started meeting in these lodges and having their secret grand poobah meetings. You know, it must make them feel really important, you know, that they're the worshipful master of the lodge. You know, that makes them probably feel really important, and that's what Satan plays on. She plays on those emotions, you know, making you think you're really an important person because you got your apron on. Now it says to gather for hostility, you know, like the Lions Club, right? The Lions Club, remember the Lions Club? To gather for hostility, to stir up strife, quarrel, stranger. And that third number, 2272, now remember, I keep pointing at this number, 2266. Now there's two sides of this number. You're going to learn the other side of it, but right now you need to see how they're united, they're joined. They've formed an alliance to tie a magic knot or spell and to charm against Yahweh and against Yahweh's house. That's what this is all about, okay? It's just it's, they're all united and they're evil, but even in Satan's kingdom, they're not really united. They're only united when it comes to war. If you know the United Nations, they only agree when they got to go to war. Now, the other one, turn aside, is 6662, but notice that gnosis. Remember the word gnosis that was used there? Let's look at the meaning of gnosis. And this is from GnosticTeachings.org. It says, the higher meaning of gnosis, now this is going to be hard for you to understand because, you know, we don't, I mean, this is really, really, these people must be really smart. Listen to this. The higher meaning of gnosis is knowledge from experience. By the way, that's what yada means too. Look it up. It means especially experience of divinity or that which is beyond the five senses. The word gnosis does not refer to knowledge that we are told or believe in. Gnosis is conscious, experiential knowledge, not merely intellectual or conceptual knowledge, belief, or theory. This term is synonymous with the Hebrew dat, the Arabic marifa, the Tibetan rigpa, or knowing, and the Sanskrit na. Gnosis can also refer to the tradition that embodies the core wisdom of knowledge of humanity, although in the physical world it has not been known by that nature, but instead has adopted varying appearances according to culture, time, and place. Wow, they said a lot that I just, it just really just goes over your head, doesn't it? But just look at the number, though. 4198, isn't that how many religions followed the 4199? And notice the meaning of 4198, or 4,198. It means sucked out, empty, exhausted, and burnt. That's what's going to take place. Notice 4198 in the Hebrew means departed, go on their way, journeying, leave the house of Yahweh. They pursued a course, it says, pursued a course, traveling, went on their way to depart from life, to follow one, listen to this, to follow one that is become his adherent or his student. Remember, they're following that 4,199th religion sitting on the seven hills. And it means a test, experience, assaying, trial. Learn to know by experience. Remember what they just said about gnosis? And that's what yada means. It means to pierce across the other side and beyond. Yeah, beyond Babylon. Can I have my next slide? Now let's learn what a real Mason is. You want to know what a real Mason is? It's a House of Yahweh followaway. You see that? A House of Yahweh fall away, 1446, means Masons. They pursued the Nimrod course, descending. These are Nimrod ancestors. No, that doesn't mean they came from their bloodline. It means that they follow Nimrod. Okay? They have the same character traits. They descended from Cush, and they're free from righteousness. See that? 1122, and it means sons, Assyrians, people with the mark, Babylonians. Sorry, it says Babylonians, but not. Well, it could be Babylonians, right? Beasts, tumultuous one, foreigners, troops, warriors, whelps, builders. Strong's Hebrew 1446 means masons. They're the masons. Now, you see that picture down there? This picture is called the Tower of Babel. It's by a guy named Peter Bruegel the Elder, painted in 1563. And that picture right there, I brought this out years ago. That picture is hanging in almost every Freemason lodge. You know why? Because they recognized, if you notice, I blew up the picture of that, what you can't see in that picture. That's supposedly Nimrod. And you see that man bowing down, crouching down to Nimrod there. He's wanting into the city. And Nimrod's inspecting his works to make sure that they can come into his city, that Tower of Babel. Okay? Now, that's all symbolic, but you notice the stone next to him. Nimrod is inspecting the works to make sure that Yahweh isn't any part of that. Okay? Because Yahweh cannot have any part in this Tower of Babel. Can I have my next slide? Now it says, the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any beast of the field which Yahweh had made. And she said to the woman, this is Genesis 3, 1 and 2. Notice the first number. It means a third part. It's 8531. It means a third part, a third. Third from 7969. It means third, 33, 33. Sound familiar? 33 and 323. Where you get that number 323 from 7991, it means a third part of the highest rank, captain, great lord, prince, a triangle. A triangle. You know, like the 33rd degree, the highest rank of Freemasonry, and the triangle, you know, the pyramid that they all worship. Which, remember, that letter gamma, it's the where they get the word gamatria. The letter, it's the letter G in Greek, and it's the third letter in the Greek alphabet because that number three represents Trinity, Trinity gods that they worshiped in Egypt. The triangle Trinity gods is 1674, and you know that number means 666, actually on steroids because that whole number is just 666 everywhere, okay? And remember the 33 degrees of Freemasonry. Let's go to the next slide. When you put in Lucifer, she's the leader. The Great Red Dragon, the Roman Catholic Church, Mystery Babylon. Notice what you get. You get 666, but then off to the right there, you get 3330. Did you know that 333 is actually a third part of 100%? Just use your calculator. So a third part left, right? Isn't that what the scripture says? They followed Lucifer in this rebellion? A third part of the Malachim. Now, that number 666 is the mark, sign, and signature of the beast. Walt Disney knows something about this. He's one of those elites. He's got a Club 33. You know, where all the elites go, all the Freemasons, I go to eat steak, I guess, at the Walt Disney 33 Club. Now, let's see. When you add up all those numbers there, you get 7992, and lo and behold, here it is again. One-third, a third part, 33. A third part of the highest rank, captain, great lord, prince, a triangle. 33rd degree, the highest rank of Scottish Rite Freemasonry. Okay, here's one for everybody that likes worldly music. Can I have my next slide? You'll see the priests, you know, they're all putting up the rock there. Y'all think that's cool? You see, Jay-Z likes to do that too. Well, let's see. The forefathers of the Roman Catholic Church, the Coptic Catholic Church, the heads of Jacob. Notice what you get here. Do you all see that? It means burning, fiery, flaming, fire, hot. The second number, 4704, means little horn, and it's used in Daniel 8, 9. Strong's 3045, the third number, means yada, which means to know, ignorant, illiterate, prognosticator, cunning. Remember, the serpent is more cunning and crafty than any beast of the field. and mark. They have the mark. Add up those numbers, you get 8533, and there's that number again. A third. 33. A third part of the highest rank, captain, great lord, prince, you know, like that grand poobah, he's the 33rd degree. He's the 33rd degree grand master, the worshipful master of the lodge. I don't think you be watching those music videos where they're throwing that up. Those children are throwing that up all the time, and they have no idea what that means. Can I have my next slide? Now, Freemasonry, this is from FreemasonryIsrael.org. It says, these are the seven principles of Freemasonry. It says, number one is belief in God or monotheism is the sole dogma of Freemasonry. That word dogma fits them perfectly. Number two, immortality of the soul is the ultimate lesson of Masonic philosophy. Remember what pastors told us? They told him that he had to agree of immortality of the soul. Number three, the volume of the sacred law, the Tanakh, Bible, and or Quran is indispensable on the altar of a lodge. They have to have that one of those books on the altar. Number four, the legend of Hiram involved in the construction of the Temple of Jerusalem, the first edifice built for G blank D, because they're afraid to say God because it's so holy, I guess, by Solomon, king of Israel. Number five, the modes of recognition of the fraternity. Number six, symbolism of the operative art by the way of the professional construction tools, the compass and the square. And number seven, a Freemason must be a freeborn male adult. They also have lodges for the women, too, the Eastern Star. Maybe we'll get into that another time. But now let's look at these numbers here. It says 4963. It means chaff. And it's from 1129, to build, the builders. Remember, that's the same word used in the stone that the builders or the Masons rejected? 4963 in the Greek means a gathering together, a conspiracy, a secret combination, a secret coalition, band together, a binding together, mob, riotous crowd. From 4962 means to combine, unite, gathering together. And then 2977 means secretly, privately. From 2990, to escape notice, to lie hid, to be hidden, to be secret. Remember, that's what they're all about, secrecy. No one can know what we're up to because we're so smart, and all you dummies down there, you don't know anything. We know everything. We're the Gnosis. We're in the Gnosis. And we go by our gnomon on the sundial because he knows everything. Israel Hawkins doesn't know anything. We know everything. No, you know everything. You know because you're being taught by the one who knows it all, okay? We don't know it all, but we're being taught by the one who knows it all. Okay, you see that big old planet there? This is how many Earth-sized planets you can get in there. 1,300 into Jupiter. Now, you won't find it in the book of Yahweh, but we're going to prove it to you in the next sermon, Yahweh willing. What's in there? Okay, you're going to find out that Pastor is 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000,000, 1,000,000,000% correct. And you see that Star Trek logo, the Freemason logo. You're going to learn more about that too. So at this time, if everybody would please stand. Time flies when you're having a really, really awesome time. At this time, I'd like to present to you the great Kohan Yehuda Hawkins.
Please be seated. I'm going to be kind of scatterbrained today, I'm afraid. We're putting something on the screen here. I was asked to explain these things. Now, all this information is from a book called A Complete Hebrew and English Critical and Pronouncing Dictionary by William L. Roy. We're going to look at page 168 and page 175 on it. And the thing is here, apparently there's still some misunderstandings between the word Hillel and Hallelujah Way. This man explains it quite well. Hillel, it does mean to praise, but it also means, according to This dictionary, A Complete Hebrew and English Critical and Pronouncing Dictionary by William L. Roy, on page 168. The insolent, proud, arrogant, and the agitator, howler, disturber of the peace, improperly rendered in our translation, the King James Version, Lucifer or the Morning Star. That's Hillel. It has nothing to do with Hallelujah, Yahweh, or Halal, or anything else. It's Hillel. It is spelled, as you'll notice, Hey, Yod, Lamed, Lamed. It has Hillel in it. That's Hillel, totally different. And, of course, Solomon warned you about family members that are insolent, proud, arrogant, the agitator, howler, disturber of the peace, or anyone. It doesn't matter whether they're male or female. It doesn't matter how the translation says. In some it says a rebellious wife and certain things in the writings. We're talking about any member of the family, any member of the congregation that wants to get out of line. They are insolent, proud, arrogant, an agitator, howler, disturber of the peace. And they are just like Hillel. And so consider that. I recommend everyone please read Proverbs 31. It talks about a virtuous helpmate. But that helpmate can be a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, brothers and sisters, priests, deacons, deaconess, kohanas, judges, name it. We can all be these virtuous family members. And please read that and try to live by it. But with it, also, let us hear the conclusion of the entire matter. Same writer, or at same compilation of books, reverence Yahweh by keeping all of his laws, for this is the duty of all men. But notice what it says then about Hallelujah Yahweh. Here it is, A Complete Hebrew and English Critical and Pronouncing Dictionary by William L. Roy, page 175. Hallelujah, he says. But he points out, praise ye Yahweh. And he says, be diligent in it. Don't just sit there and say, praise Yahweh because you have to. Do it because you want to and want to all the time. Now, turn in your book of Yahweh to the very last Psalm, 150, the last verse. Now, in all Hebrew manuscripts, it ends with the word hallelujah in Christianity. But Dr. Roy points out, look at what I've marked. You circled it? Yah for Yahweh. Even Dr. Roy knew they took out Yahweh, pardon my mistaken tongue there. They took out Yahweh and put Yah in his place because Yah is in the form of the verb hawa, to be. But that way they can keep on from saying the name. They'll say Yah, but they won't say Yahweh. They'll say Hashem, the Lord God, Elohim, you name it. But he knows that it should have been Hallelujah Yahweh. Look at it. Yah for Yahweh. Yah, Hallelujah, and Yahweh. He said they took out the Yah and Yahweh, the Yahweh and Hallelujah Yahweh, and put Yah. There it is, right there. I didn't write this. Dr. William L. Roy wrote it. He was a scholar back in the mid-1800s. And he was also, from my understanding, the man who taught James Strong, the concordance man that everyone uses. But it says, let all creation praise Yahweh in the last verse of Psalm 150, verse 6. All that exists, and some it says breath of life, depending on the translation. It says, let them all praise Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. And let's have this understanding. Hillel has nothing to do with Yahweh. Hillel has a lot to do with God and all those followers of the gods, including some of the people you've heard the last two speakers talk about, but Hillel has nothing to do with Yahweh. She's trying to overthrow Yahweh. And I've been telling you about that. I had to take care of this today, which I did not come in with more about the court and the trial, but there will be more, Yahweh allowing. And so therefore, I want you to please have your understanding blessed by Yahweh. Please stand. And I turn the services over to the great Carlon Ilya Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. In the news today, we want you to first focus on what's taking place here at the feast. And for those of you that may not know, it's a yearly thing in the house of Yahweh, a daily thing. In the world, they have something that's called lunch shaming, where if your children are going to school and they can't afford lunch, remember, this is a place you're supposed to go for education. And we're not even going to get into the peer pressure and the conformity that's put upon them, but just going to school and worrying about having something to eat. Well, they've got lunch shaming going on to where governmental systems, school systems are saying that if you can't afford lunch, we'll give you a 10-day leeway and we'll give you a tuna fish sandwich, but you don't get a hot meal. But after 20 days, you don't get anything. In other words, you come to school, if your parents can't afford the lunch, you're just not getting a meal. And then they're going to take away other activities that everybody in school are allowed to do. They'll start taking those away from you and compensating for your lunches if it still takes place, so you won't get the other things that children are getting. Now compare that to the house of Yahweh, where all education is free. You can come to as many classes as you want to. You can learn from the greatest teacher on the face of this earth, the detailed things that are in the scriptures, and also the peaceful solution. And then you can go get your free meal, no charge. I want you to think about the multi-million, billion, trillion-dollar system that refuses to give free lunches, and then look at what, and you have to agree with this, look at the vision of one man getting other people to see what he's seen, how that provides free food to Yahweh's people, but we had to get behind him and see what he's doing and follow behind him. And in doing that, he's teaching us how to love our neighbor as ourself. Now, with that going on, we also have on the global scale, Russia come out this last week, and they're saying they are now ready to ditch the U.S. dollar in all energy trade. They're saying the ruble is strong enough, that is the Russian currency, to sustain global energy. Now, they're talking about, like, we cannot just do our trade, we can do other people's trade. And they're speaking against the petrodollar. Now, that's the money that keeps this war machine strong here in the United States. With that going on, remember, you take away the dollar and you can't sanction them. The only option you have is, as Max Kaiser said on RT, is war. The United States has always said, if we can't control you with the dollar, we'll just go to war with you. Well, Iran has discovered $40 billion worth of natural gas, and it's in the Persian Gulf, and they're wanting to collect that. They're wanting to put it on the market, because you can have $40 million or $40 billion or $40 trillion, but if you can't get it to the market, it's absolutely worthless. It's buried in the ground and does you no benefit. Well, remember, China was going to help them. We showed in the news earlier this week how China, through sanctions and trade wars, they have backed out of it. They said they won't do it because of the United States. France also backed out. Well, watch very carefully and see. You're going to see Russia come in, who's not going to care about sanctions, and they're going to help because it makes money. Russia's also going to be looking to make money off of this. Iran tells the United States they will not forgive them for the economic terrorism. Once again, recognize how the oil is the economy. Hurt not the oil and the wine. It's speaking of the economy there, because the United States is controlling economies through oil. Watch very carefully and see how many countries do the United States go in and mess with that has no oil. If Haiti had oil, the United States would be in Haiti right now. If Mexico had oil, the United States would be down in Mexico right now. It's the same thing that we see. This hurt not the oil and the wine, but they want to control everything. And then there's a clip that shows what it takes to join NATO. And just pay close attention, because remember, Turkey is a member of NATO. Now, there's two countries that are majority Muslim, but Albania only has 60%. They're a member of NATO. They're 60% Muslim. Turkey, on the other hand, is 90% Muslim, and they are part of NATO. That's very important. Remember, NATO is an army of the Pope. Well, what does Turkey have to do with the Vatican? Well, it's very important to pay attention to what's going on, and I want to read you this. Keep this in mind. This is from the Mark of the Beast. Remember, Pastor wrote this back in 1976. On page 60, Pastor says, remember this beast, speaking of the second beast in Revelation 13, remember this beast has two horns, two religions, whereas the first beast was led by 10 horns, or 10 religions. the little horn that puts the other religion down is the one horn that is most concerned, Daniel, because it changed the laws of Yahweh. Remember, that's the spokesperson of that first beast, the spokesperson. It says that they cared not at all for the laws of Yahweh. Only the Catholic Church took the laws of Yahweh and changed them and pretended they were worshiping the Most High Father Yahweh. In actuality, they were worshiping the sun god of pagan origin. This is the same god that Christian holidays are in honor of today. Now, he goes on to say, historically, the Roman kingdom was not destroyed. It was broken into pieces and spread throughout the world and absorbed the worldly pagan teachings. So once again, you have this kingdom. It was broken into pieces. They're saying, let us be like the first beast. You hear this religious freedom. Remember, the Catholic Church will worship all gods. They're universal. There's not one god they won't worship, but you have to show them. They're the bullies in the religion. You have to show them the respect. Pay tribute to them. Well, you're going to see with first, watch how the, remember first, you have the Oslo Accords. Remember who wrote the Oslo Accords, who overseen the Oslo Accords. That, of course, is the Holy See. That is the ruling party of the Vatican, the Pope being that little horn, that spokesperson, but he's insignificant. The Holy See is the governmental body that puts these things together, that writes his speeches, that tells him what he will do and what he will say. Well, you'll see him working very closely with someone known as the Patriarch of Constantinople. Everywhere he goes, the other one goes. I want to show you really quickly. If you remember, when they went to the Vatican to pray for peace? Well, remember who you've seen. Mahmoud Abbas, Pope Francis, Shimon Peres, and of course, Patriarch Bartholomew. And then, of course, they went to Jerusalem. And they went there to usher in certain things. They didn't say what those things were, but it didn't take long for the Patriarch of Jerusalem to show up at the Vatican and complain about people buying up the religious properties. Well, also you're going to see in the news, and you'll see it in the timeline, where President Erdogan, that's the president of Turkey, he met with Pope Francis. And they clearly say in the news, Jerusalem was the priority between both of them. Why would a Muslim nation and a Christian leader, a Catholic leader, meet about Jerusalem? What are they looking for? What are they trying to do? And then, of course, you're going to see this just the last few weeks. You had Bartholomew, who is the Patriarch of Constantinople. He's also the leader of these 10 kings that we see. He went to the Vatican. Pope Francis had a gift for him. One of the things he gave him was supposedly a bone of the Apostle Kefa to take back with him. Remember, Constantinople was supposed to have been created by the Apostle Andrew. They say St. Andrew, Peter was supposed to be the first pope, but he gave him a bone. It was probably of somebody they killed and trying to scrap him out everywhere, but it definitely wasn't Kefa. But they gave him a bone. And he also gave him a document that the Vatican has signed with the Muslims. Why would he give Bartholomew a document? Well, of course, Bartholomew's in a majority Muslim nation. Why is the Muslim nation working with the Vatican? And why is their goal Jerusalem? Think about these things as we play this and watch how all of this in and around the Great River Euphrates, because you're going to see why the Vatican is using Turkey, Russia and the United States are ready to go to war. Remember what Malachi Martin said. There's three people vying for that top spot, and Satan is deceiving every one of them into thinking war will bring peace. At this time, if we could please go ahead and play the news. Everyone would please stand. I would like to introduce the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Boy, this is wonderful. Yahweh, they're all yours. Praise Yahweh. Please be seated. The peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The things here with Turkey, it'll all make sense to you real soon. I know it's kind of confusing seeing what they're doing now in Syria, but they're going to bring this about, the prophecies in Syria about. That's what it's all about. It's just you don't see the end of it. right now, so it's confusing, but it will be coming clear each Sabbath. We're going to continue. I want to continue on with this subject. That's what all the Yametria was all about too. You're going to have to remember these. It'd be better if you rehearse them somewhere or another. Find a way to rehearse these Yametrix, the numbers, the meanings. Get them in your mind because they fit into the prophecies. They really wouldn't make sense to anyone who doesn't know the house of Yahweh, what it's about. That's the only place you're going to get the knowledge that will help you to understand the matrix that Yahweh put in to the Hebrew language that he gave Abraham. And, of course, it was for this generation. Remember that. It wasn't even discovered till this generation. And it was discovered by accident. Then when it was discovered, Bullinger put several universities to work on this thing to get a book written so the house of Yahweh could have it today. And of course, the computer programs, that book of Bullinger's has gone into this too. And you can bring these things up now. You can search the scriptures and the Hebrew language, every letter, now with great speed with the computers we have. That's the knowledge increase that started in 1934. I want you to remember also Jupiter. I have trouble with the size of this. I can't grasp the size of it. There's a lady got a fan back here that is about the size of a basketball. And that's about the size of my brain when it comes to comparing or figuring out how big Jupiter is. Jupiter is not a planet. They need to know that. You need to remember this. Jupiter is what they're seeing, what science is seeing. It's the shield. It's like our atmosphere to Earth, similar to it, but it's a shield of what's inside Jupiter, which is several planets. I think probably each god has a planet in there, one or two of them. If you see this picture right here, and you see the Jupiter here, and these, look here at this, these moons and the oceans, and that's just four of them. And I think this one right here is somewhat bigger than our Earth, but and here is Jupiter, see, and it's it could contain 1,300 Earths, so. That kind of helps you to see that those things look like a little ball up at the side of what we're calling Jupiter, and we're referring to it as a planet. Also remember the electricity that it takes to run that 100 billion. Kilowatts of 100,000 kilowatt power plants. You got 100 billion of these power plants that put out the kilowatts of 100,000. Now, this, if you want to study a little bit of electricity, you could to find out what our power plant here in Abilene put out, or what all of these windmills that we see all over the mountains now, where we have switched from diesel generators, and we're putting up windmills like we have here on the grounds that produces our electricity. If you could even imagine, what did I say? How many billion did I say? Okay, 100 billion. 100 billion of these power plants here we have. We have a small one that runs the runs our universe here, our city, Israel City. So if you could imagine that. But you've got to imagine what this is, or you won't know what's going on and what was given to Satan. And that's the only reason I'm trying to get it over to you. A being who enjoys life. Now, that's the body that Yahweh created for us. He created a fleshly body that could enjoy living, that could talk, that can communicate with each other, that can consider one another's feelings, as Hebrews says. Consider one another. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together with one another. Consider one another. Consider the other person. That's where you learn to consider the other person, is at the house of Yahweh. The rest of the world, the rest of the religions, 4,199 religions, and they're all considering how they can get rid of the person next to them, their neighbor or the nation, the city next to them. How can we take advantage of them? How can we own their land, get off my land, get out of my face? You know, this is mine. I'm going to take it from you. Attitude. That's what you're learning in the world right now. No more free lunches at schools. Did you get that? We're going to start charging you for these. Well, what about the taxes we're paying in to, so these people can have these free dinners? You know, you've all been doing this, paying taxes for this. But now you're going to have to, the child's got to fork over some money each day. So they're turning the schools into cafeterias and selling the food. That don't sound right to me, but that's what's going on. Remember how big it is and how just what it could contain, and I'll show you what the scripture says, and then your matrix then is going to come behind me. Don't miss any of this feast. It's a package that we're going to try to cover before the feast is out, at least to a certain extent, to where you'll know and you can understand what we are going to take over also. That is promised to the saints of the Most High. That's our promise. Yes, we're going to be given these. We're not going to take it. We're not going to pull swords and kill everyone in Jupiter. When they fall, with the predicted fall that Yahweh has already judged, he says he sets in judgment with the gods, remember? Now, where's this going on? The heavenly courts. He sets in judgment with them. And he says, you should be doing this, this, and this, instead of this, this, and this. Well, he says, you're going to fall. And after your fall, then my true sons and daughters, of which the earth was made, for which the earth was made, that another one, one of them says earth. Now get this, please. One of them says earth. The other one says world. The one that says Earth is what the planet we're on now. When you see the word world, Strong's concordance says this means universe. Universe. Now, also understand the word Catholic. The word Catholic, I mean, the word Catholic actually means universal. Universal. So if you could put all this together with this universe that is making decisions out there, and they got their representatives here on Earth named universe or universal, then you can see it was allowed by Yahweh in the beginning in the garden. Universal. The universal religion, not of Yahweh, but of Genesis 3, 1 through 5, of the gods. Universal. And that government is coming from, as we know now, Jupiter. That's where it's coming to Earth. The government of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh, the kingdom he is building to take over when this universal system fails. What we see here on Earth right now taking place in our form of governments, we got it. Democrats and Republicans supposedly teaching and following democracy. They're not following democracy. They twist the word democracy and they add to it, and what they can get away with, they do. What they can take, they do that too. That's not democracy. If they truly followed the word democracy, it would be an improvement over what they got now, but they won't follow it. They break their own laws. The laws in each county, they don't follow the laws in Washington. They don't follow the laws that the constitutional rights allow to each mankind. And it's in writing. There's no excuse for them not to follow it. But they can take more. They can eliminate more people by not following it, by getting what they call a court together and a jury together. The prosecuting attorney can file false charges. They can go before the grand jury and tell the grand jury anything they want to in private that the one they're prosecuting don't even know about and what's being told, in order to get an indictment to send this man to prison and get him out of our way, whose land we want. This goes on constantly in the counties. They have that power because they have the laws to follow, but they pushed aside the laws and they took a judge and a jury and what they call a grand jury, which is far from being grand in my sight, when they don't follow their own rules and they don't have to follow them. No one's going to prosecute them, but the same district attorney, if he wanted to, could turn around after he talked to the grand jury and put every one of them in prison for not following the laws that come forth from Washington, from your Constitution. Now, that's how twisted up they've got this system. This system is running the nations. Since 1934, the system has taken over the oil. That's when oil was discovered. You got that information yesterday. It was discovered for this generation. Hurt not the oil? That meant nothing till this generation. This generation has brought forward the great wealth that is under the ground, that they know where stockpiles of it are. They know that there's abundance of it. I think they also know that it's reproducing, that the earth is a manufacturing plant that reproduces oil. Oil was spoken of in Genesis, you know, but nobody knew what this talking about, of course, until now, until this generation, when the book of Yahweh was given along with the helps. Well, isn't it strange? Don't it seem strange to you preachers out there that this oil just came forth in our generation and has now become hurt not the oil attitude? Why hurt not the oil? Because this will furnish us these rich families that own, that have, that they don't own it. No, they got control of it. Control from Jupiter, from the house of the houses of the gods, the kingdom of the gods that's coming forth universally to the universal church, which the Revelations 12 and 13 shows you these two, what is called beasts, but they're the systems. And the one in 13, the two-horned religion, religious beast, says, let us be like the first beast. Let us be like this first beginning. Put those two words together. First, the first beast. In the beginning, this was so. The universal church Yahweh allowed, but he says, don't go near it, because if you go near it, if you start following this universal church that I've allowed them to set here to test you, don't go near it, or dying, you will die. And then he sent prophet after prophet to warn them, this is going to bring you death. That's the same warnings he's taking to the gods in the heavenly courts. This is going to bring you this destruction. He doesn't get up there and argue. He didn't bring a gun or a sword with him. He merely told them what it's going to do. And, of course, they probably laughed at him or joked about it later, like they still do today in Washington, as they also joke about each other. But it's not a joke. It's taking place. We have the bombs. We have the hurt not the oil. We have the bombs that can burn the earth in 1 hour. It's already here. Now wake up, gods, all you gods in Jupiter. I know you're hearing my voice. You need to wake up. You know, you could repent. I know you won't, but you could. Your preachers could repent. Yahweh says they won't. They will not. He says that Revelations 9:20. They won't repent. Well, I told you that Yahweh loved Hillel. Hillel is the great Kohen Yehuda just brought out. At one time, Hillel was greatly loved and admired and for her actions in the heavenly courts, when Yahweh established her, I established you. Remember, we'll get more into that and more explanation on it as we go here this feast, but this Hillel, she's a very intelligent woman. And Yahweh, the scriptures themselves that you changed, that the Catholic Church changed, trying to hide Hillel, yes, hallelujah, Yahweh went to that serpent, that snake, that crocodile, all kinds of names were developed for her as she ruled in the heavenly courts. And they came down to us today, of course, in Scripture, showing how sin was found in her. And she changed over the years, became greedy, became democratic, became universal, became greedy, wanting to not take advice, not be told what to do, but to raise her throne. That means she has a throne, right? And she's going to raise her throne above Yahweh's throne. Yeah, Yahweh has a throne that he judges from to the gods, the heavenly beings, the heavenly courts, the heavenly churches, the universal church. He tells it as he's telling it through 6,000 years of man's history by his servants, sending his servants to tell these things, sending his servants. Well, yes, his servants, as they spoke, it's put before heaven and earth. Remember, I set before you heaven and earth. Deuteronomy. I set before you heaven and earth. So they know what you're doing. They know what you're saying. So each prophet that came in the name of Yahweh, they came in the name of Yahweh. They were different from the gods. They came in the name of Yahweh condemning the gods. They were beaten. They were arrested. The district attorney filed charges against them. They were tried in their democratic courts. They were condemned, put to death, imprisoned. The man that wrote Revelations, the same thing took place with him. And Yahweh sent a messenger. He sent the same messenger. You might remember this. Daniel and his men were thrown in the fiery furnace. Now they did that. They were put on trial. The district attorney filed charges against them, and they broke the law. They invented a law that they knew they would have to break. So they put them in jail, and then they sentenced them to the fiery furnace. It's a strange thing when you look at that and read it, you find an extra person in that fiery furnace. This fiery furnace is a symbol, as Yeshua said, a sign that this fiery furnace is going to be what they actually sentenced for Daniel and his men. Was actually, they passed this sentence. As Psalm says, let this be done to them. So they set this sign themselves of what is going to be done to them. A fiery furnace that will wipe out the sinners. That man that was in the furnace with Daniel and his companions was wearing linen. I don't know if the Yomatrix got to this today, but this linen is shown several times in the Yomatrix and will be brought and shown if it wasn't covered today. It will be before the feast is out, Yahweh willing. But the linen that was given to you that you wore on the great holy day where Yahweh says his eyes and his heart are here with you. That means a lot. Well, think of this and the man that was clothed in linen that was in the fiery furnace, but no one was burned. Now this, praise Yahweh, this is the great Passover that I'm talking about, been talking about for years. Speaking of that, the great Kohan Michael Sheets Hawkins has put together a documentary, and we'll be showing this feast, right? This feast, okay? I don't know what date, but don't miss it. Don't miss it. You need it. This is bringing forth some things that we brought out in 1980-something. Some of it that early in the House of Yahweh in Abilene. And a lot of stuff there that will help you to understand what we're bringing today, because now we're in the countdown of the last 3.5 years, and this is being brought forth then, because this war with Syria becoming a heap of rubble, heaps of rubble, is the guiding point for you to look for, and it's taking place right now with the wars going, it's been going on for 8 years, getting worse right now. Well, the serpent, known earlier as Praise Yahweh, Hallelujah Yahweh, Hillel, serpent, now devil, Satan, deceiver, snake, diviner, the word Vatican, if you'll look it up and just Google it, and it'll tell you what it means, the word Vatican, it means the divining serpent. Well, these were all these names that I just named, serpent, devil, Satan, deceiver, snake. Brethren, we're in Washington where everybody lies. You know, get the governments together. Get the religions together, and you'll see what's going on in heaven. It's all coming from there, from the gods. These are the fruits, these fruits that you see here that's coming forth. Was predicted in Genesis in the beginning, predicted for 6,000 years by the prophets. Then Yahweh sent his own son, and what did they do to him? Same thing. Well, this time, he says, they won't prevail this time against the house of Yahweh. This message is going to go out to all the world, he says. It's going to go out to all the world. I'm out of time, but give me just a few more minutes. And if you'll turn over to Genesis 3 now. Genesis 3. And all I've told you here this morning, everything you've seen in the your matrix, here is what we see Yahweh saying in the beginning when he's talking about Hillel and her accomplishments and her downfalls. In let's just go to verse 14. He says, so Yahweh said to the serpent, now this is after the sin, after obviously guiding Yahweh's creation, for which he made the earth. She knew his plan, and Yahweh actually put her over it. Notice that. He says, so Yahweh said to the serpent, speaking to Hillel, because you have done this, because you have brought this sin into the world, into mankind, and it will stay with mankind, you have started hatred to growing between mankind and my original sons, who's still in Jupiter, holding great offices in Jupiter, and shown to be here as an example, be as gods, they're gods. So he's set her over these, and she turned them against man. And that's what he's saying here. You've turned them against your seed. You've turned your seed against mankind, the creation that was created to help the gods, the planets, Jupiter, the universe, help the universe to overcome and to straighten out their governments. So Yahweh said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are bitterly cursed. This the whole universe is. I established you over all living things. I established you over all flesh on the ground, but your ability to bring forth life from the dust will be taken away now. You will go to your punishment. That is what I've judged for you. This will come about. You will be destroyed on that day. This says by Yahweh. I think I know that David Yehuda has already corrected that. Yahweh judged this, who lives forever. If you look over quickly with that in mind, I established you over this, see, over this to bring forth life, not death. You know, we are the ones that's bringing forth life, and that's why we were created, to bring forth life, not death, bring forth peace, not war. And Satan was supposed to teach this and guide and direct it, but she did not. She failed her job. Matithya. Go to Matithya 4. With that in mind, I established you. Remember that. I established you to do this thing, and you have not. Now you're going to bring forth death instead of life. You're going to bring forth fighting and war, bitterness, hatred, instead of peace. All the things that his house are prophesied to bring, now she's turned her sons, his original sons, shown in Eob, in Yashub, against Yahweh's sons, which are mankind. If you separate, remember 1 Corinthians 6 and 2 Corinthians 6. If you separate yourself from what Hillel set in front of you, following the gods, experiencing evil, that's what she's got the world doing, experiencing evil, and dying for experiencing it, or in investigating it, living it. Now look here at 4, chapter 4 of Matithya, and look at verse 8. I have established you, remember? Again, the devil took him up, took him up, into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. That word right there, world, according to Strong's dictionary and concordance, means universe. Universe. World. And the magnificence of this. And said to him, I will give you all these things if you will fall down and worship me. Then Yahshua said to her, get this, you get away from me, Satan, for it is written, notice it is written. You see what he's following here? It is written. The written scriptures is what he's referring her to. Look back at verse 4, the very first line. But he answered and said, it is written. You see that? Look at verse 6, the second line. Yahweh, throw yourself down, for it is written. She's quoting scriptures to try to poke fun at the scriptures, but he corrects her and says, no, it's also written, you can't test Yahweh. Look at verse 7, first line. Yahshua said to her, it is written. It is written. Well, if you keep that in mind now and go over, we'll come back here, but look at Hebrews. Hebrews. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. We'll end with this scripture and start here the next time I speak. In Hebrews 1, look at verse 3. Speaking of Yahshua himself, he says, who being the reflection of the perfection of Yahweh and the representation of Yahweh's plan, he didn't throw it away like Satan did, like Hillel did, but he upheld it by upholding all things concerning that which was spoken by the prophets, but written for, and Yahshua had the writings, all things that which was spoken by Yahweh through the law and the prophets, written by the prophets, when he had purged sin, sat down on the right hand of Yahweh. Oh boy, look at that. Look at those last two words. On high. What could that mean? It gets more beautiful as we go. I'm going to leave you hanging right there. That'll give you thought for this feast. And we're going to cover all of this now, this feast. Don't miss the day. Don't miss any service at all. When you go to the peaceful scene this year, this feast, you take a look at what the great Kohan David Haberman has been working on for you. And he told me yesterday, he said, this is a really great experience going through this. Take some time when you go and do like the sign said. We got signs saying why you're here. No, you didn't come here to get a free meal. You didn't come here to get served. You came here to serve, to learn how to serve, to consider one another. Praise Yahweh. Well, the sign says, when you enter this, it says, tells you where to enter, and it tells you, read everything. And then it said, no, Don't read everything. Study it. Study every word you read. Don't miss one of these words or two of those little words there, like on high. I wonder how many people in the world would stop and look that up and find out what that on high might mean. On high. If I told you it meant Jupiter, you'd probably fall out of your chair, but that's what it means, and I'll prove it to you the next time I speak. Yahweh bless you. Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the service back to the next leader. I love you.